The gospel according to John, better delivered with the sound on. The gospel according to John. In speaking to his disciples, the words that John has used for Jesus' teaching are as follows. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete, may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. The gospel according to John. The day before leaving for our 2 weeks with our small camper on a long desired trip to the North Carolina Outer Banks National Seashore, the psychologist said to me after I recounted an experience, "But tell me how you felt." She was right in my face. "No," she said as I tried to give her a different reply, jabbing her finger toward me. "Tell me how you felt." Well, I was completing an extended engagement with a Columbus firm called the Midwest Ministry Development Center. So I missed the eclipse. This was my 2-day brief debriefing of all the tests that I had taken to assess my ministerial streaks, strengths, and weaknesses using my Enneagram, my Myers-Briggs, and several other career and vocational suitedness tests I had taken. You would think at 82 I would already be past these things, but sometimes the beginning comes late. Anyhow, I did struggle under her questions to reach inside and find what, if anything, I did feel about my first discernment committee's rejection of me for ministry in the Episcopal Church of Colorado. Because in a secret meeting, not following the bishop's instructions, the leader of the committee, a retired Lutheran minister, said to them, "By the way, he is a New Age Gnostic heretic." I've learned to embrace that definition. So I finally said to her, I felt angry about how I had been treated. And I did. And we left Colorado. I guess that's anger. But we came here, which is love. Following that time with the psychologist, she and the counselor concluded the session by emphasizing that I should have a fun holiday trip. Okay? Really, they emphasized. Have fun. And I say, what is fun? Okay. But we did. I grew up in the outdoors. I lived next to a woods. I would take my dog out into the woods. We would hunt, fish for crawdads, anything to be outside. I worked in a day camp as a junior counselor and then a senior counselor in a day camp that was awarded national prizes for its ethics and its treatment of Native Americans. Turned out the leader was a second cousin of mine. Maybe we inherited some same genes. Catherine, on her part, at the age of 16, climbed Mount Whitney, became a member of the Sierra Club, did a lot of camping. So when we got married and moved to Seattle, we took up backpacking in the North Cascades, now a national park, then just a national forest. And I remember one night with this loud bang, a glacier that hung below us broke. And those were the days where you could actually be around a glacier and have that experience. Sitting at our campsites on this trip, I felt like I was coming home, experiencing once again the vast oceanscape just over the dunes behind our camper site, sitting under tall trees at another site, and once again being able to have a campfire, which we can't do on our downtown balcony. Love to figure out how to do that, but so we have a fake campfire. But anyhow, my real feelings were much on my mind after that counseling session, and I tried to feel what I was feeling, to understand it. I felt like that I had found a deep sense of peace that I had been missing for a very long time, a peace that comes to me in the outdoors, in camping, and in our many years of backpacking, including our wonderful 90-mile excursion, the two of us, on the Continental Divide. And then we came home. War. Congress. A former president sleeping in the courtroom. Anti-Israel, anti-Semitic campus demonstrations. Unlike the demonstrations of the past, really unlike. I can talk more about that another time. The Supreme Court and its dealing with presidential immunity as if it was a puzzle to work out instead of something obvious in the context of the case before them. They ducked. We're going to reap the reward of that one. It was a traumatic emergence into our living reality that I am still working through. I have honestly struggled to say something today that would have some meaning for me and possibly also for you in dealing with the chaos around us and not being captured into it in damaging ways. So then I get this text as our gospel reading. Oh my goodness, love, 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 love. As if the world didn't exist. Without diving into the conditions that John is writing about that Richard spoke so clearly of 2 weeks ago, the reading has one clear message, fluffed up a bit by our English vocabulary that only has one word for love. So I went back to the original Greek, and sure enough, it's about agape, the Greek love that means unconditional love, charity, used as the love for God and God's love for us. It's agape. You knew that. But when we read the text, love, 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 there's all kinds of love that we experience. Agape is very, very particular, and it's too bad they didn't just use that word. Agape is used by Christians to express the unconditional love of God for his children. Aquinas referred to it as a love that wills the good of another. And for me, Aquinas captures the sense that Georgia back here spoke of last week. And I paraphrase it in the mode of the gospel song, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Okay. "You will know we are people of agape by our actions done in agape for the good of another." Doesn't have rhythm, but when we speak of divine love, or just plain love in this community, it is agape. It is unconditional. It is charity. It is love in others. I suggest that maybe allowing ourselves to honestly look inside and monitor our true feelings might be really good advice, along with the counseling I have to go through. Trust your feelings if you can find them, and you should find your feelings, whatever they are. Then perhaps we can use the advice from the second reading: wisdom is the way of being, a way of being whole and fully open to knowing beyond rational thought alone. I found my wholeness while camping. I find it looking at the almost infinite expanse of beach and ocean at the National Seashore. Awesome, awesome sight. I find it in the mountains, which I miss, walking in the woods, readings. For others, it's a different way. Creativity, such as in art or playing music, neither skill to which I am drawn. Having fun with grandkids. So many different ways of being in touch. As Bourgeau wrote, the heart is an organ for the perception of divine purpose and beauty. The heart holds our feelings. We have to be open to that. I am finding some peace now in assembling these poems, the other writings that I had here today, the wisdom way of knowing, and a way of being that gives us the capacity for real agape work. I wish that same peace for each of you in your particular ways. How did you feel? How do you feel now? For me, it's hard. I've covered it up too long.